This is the Weekly Connect podcast from RNIB.
Yes, this show is all about you, and every single week we try and make sure that you get a chance to hold the microphone and talk about the issues that matter to you, and that's exactly what we're doing this week. Let's go over to Stockport and meet Danielle Colcomer, community reporter, with more.
Hi everyone, this is Danielle. I'm here today in Stockport on a Living with Sight Loss course, and I'm with Michael, Rachel, Joe and Lynn, and we're going to debate some topics that have come up on the course. The first thing the group are going to talk about is educating the sighted world. How do we educate the sighted world about visual impairments?
I would say by having regular meetings and to get people to come along and talk about the their own life story, basically how the visually impairedness affects them, and also to give an idea basically that what the things they've got to face on a daily basis.
I think also within employment, in the employment agencies, each their staff should be given awareness training.
Yes.
Through wearing the different glasses, doing different activities, you know, making a cup of tea, maybe using a computer, getting from one end of the room to the other, to the toilet, and using things like that. That's day-to-day life for us people who are visually impaired or blind.
Mm-hmm. Maybe blindfolding them and showing them what it's like not to see anything.
Sassy, interjecting. You can just ask, why do you think they need to be educated on sight loss?
Because people presume one thing, and in some cases, it could they may not have come out or address that situation in their own life, so they do not have a point of focus to see how it can affect somebody.
Plus also, they may not see the fact that some people who are visually impaired don't actually have a cane or any, you know, use any sort of aid, and they can look like they can see. And so it shows people who are in the fully sighted world what it's like to live day by day, you know, and make them understand why.
So did anyone see the recent campaign, Cane Explain?
Yep.
And what did we think of that?
Oh, it was good. I think the misperception of if you have a white cane or a guide dog, you're totally blind and you can't see. That's not the case.
How do you think visually impaired people are treated by people who are fully sighted? Do you think there is a general consensus of misunderstanding, or do you think most people do understand, or do you think that's why you really need the education, because there is that real lack of understanding in the way you're treated?
I don't think they understand it properly.
No, I don't think they do at all.
It's both the misunderstanding and ignorance.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
On a general basis, sighted people only see what's in front of them, as opposed to taking in the information that is in front and around them.
Yes.
They only see the as an outline, basically.
I think they should start looking where they're going when they're out, instead of using their phones all the time.
Yes. Pokemon, another type of apps like that, like for Twitter, you see people using the mobile phone, and like I said, people are too more interested in looking at the mobile phone and not looking where they're walking, and that could easily cause an accident.
That's a really interesting point. We tend to be so absorbed in information on our phones that we're not taking in anything around us, are we?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that means that people aren't taking much notice of what's going on in terms of people they come across in their day-to-day lives as well?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Could that be adding to the ignorance, because we're not taking notice, so that means we're not understanding?
I think they're just wrapped up in their own little world, which is a different issue. The issue is about sight and seeing what's around you is totally different from being people being wrapped up in whatever they're doing and within themselves.
And I don't think people just talk totally to them like they used to. They'd rather just go on the internet and do it that way, or texting.
I agree. So often we haven't got that face-to-face communication anymore.
No. Mm.
How do you think that's changing the world of visual impairment?
It's making it harder to get information unless you've got the internet.
And I think it's also harder if you don't work and you're trying to get into work. A lot of jobs are computer-based. social, Facebook, your Twitter, your websites, email. Yeah. Everything is done on a computer, and if you don't have a computer, then, you know, what do you do?
What do you guys do?
Use the computer.
Using a computer and my phone.
So, in a way, this technology that is helping contribute to the ignorance is also necessary for us to, you know, to move forward.
Mm. Well, yeah. Maybe it's also the fact that people who are in the sighted world and who employ people who are visually impaired or blind, you know, when you're using assisted technology such as your jaws, your magnification, bigger keyboards, bigger computer screen, etc., they need some education in that as to why you're using it, how does it help you, how does it benefit you, and things like that. The more people know and the more people understand, the more then they can understand in their head how it is to be visually impaired and blind.
And also, people who are sighted, if you've got speech on computers or anything, they moan about it sometimes.
Have you had that experience?
In the past, yes, I have.
And how was that for you?
It's annoying because sometimes I wish I didn't need it, but I know that I do need it.
Turn round to those people and say, close your eyes and try and read that.
Mm. Yeah, sometimes it's sort of making people who are sighted, not that you want to, but make them feel small.
Mm.
You know, I've had it myself where, because I have magnification on my computer, they've gone, oh, that's great, we can come and see the images on your screen. Why do you have that? And when you turn around and say, well, it's because I'm registered blind, and they go, oh, okay then.
Then maybe there needs to be more representation then of, say, visual impairment in the media. So, you know, people watch Coronation Street, maybe there's a character, you know, there's characters in wheelchairs on television.
Yeah.
And maybe need some representation on television somehow like that, or...
Well, there is that thing in EastEnders at the moment, isn't there? Yeah, there is...
Dark Cotton.
And that's actually really getting it out to the masses. Is that enough?
It's a start.
Yes.
So we mentioned employment, didn't we? So how can we educate employers?
Introduce the issues of disabilities into HR qualifications.
Mm.
That is the easiest way of doing it.
Brilliant idea.
Make it mandatory training, because a lot of employers
don't
have to do it. It's just if you want to do it. Now, if it's mandatory and it's part of their... When you start as a manager, you have to do X, Y, Z, then that is the best way forward, I would say.
Definitely.
Well, there used to be factories that were for disabled people, but they closed them all.
That was in the age of where disabled people were sort of not integrated into society as they are today. And... You know, the reputation lives on that disabled people were sat in factories weaving away, making baskets and all that. And these days, we're disabled people as a whole. We live in an integrated world, which we have a right to do so.
Mm.
So not just, you know, not just we should be in with our counterparts in employment and in life.
Of course. And the thing is, we've got skills, we've got, you know, we have, you know, decent, we've educated and stuff like that. And just because you've got a visual impairment or blind, if you want to do something in your life, then why shouldn't you be able to do it? There shouldn't be barriers put in the way, which a lot of the time there is.
I feel it's the it's our society that disables us, not our sight.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, Joe mentioned that he would like to talk about bus stops and the clutter around bus stops. So, when cars park in bus stops, and maybe when cars park on streets as well, and how that causes problems for people with visual impairments.
Yeah, it's amazing how many times I do try and use the buses, and I find so many times that I found that the vehicle just about temporarily parked at a bus stop. That stops the bus from going and pulling up right next to the curb. You mention it to the council, you mention it to the police and the bus company, and I find like nothing is really done about it. and sometimes they go a bit further up, and visually they drop you off in the road, and then totally you lose bearing on exactly whereabouts you are, and you gain to go back to the stop where you should be.
I think it's annoying, like you say. They need to look into it and address those issues.
Yes.
Does anyone have any particular experiences of a bus not being able to pull into the right lane?
Yes, a few times when they've had to stop in the middle of the road.
And how is that for you? Do you feel disorientated when you get off the bus?
I think it's more when I've been getting on the bus.
Yes.
Sometimes it's hard to stop them because when there's cars parked near the bus stop, you can't see them coming.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you're having to go into the middle of the road to get on the bus anyway. So it makes it harder sometimes, especially if no one else is there.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think, like I say, also the fact when cars park on the pavement.
Yes.
And you've got a car parked on the pavement, you've got wheelie bins out.
Yes.
And you're literally playing the gauntlet of dodging the obstacles.
Yes.
And those A boards in front of shops as well, are they a problem?
Yes.
Yes.
Just pick the A frame up and move it. That's what I do. I just pick the A frame up, walk away with it.
Yeah.
What a souvenir.
I'll crash it down to the floor. It's a great way of getting rid of it.
Yeah.
You were the kind of person who stole the traffic cones when you were a student, didn't you?
On the road sign.
Yeah.
Has anyone else got any solutions for these this street pollution?
I think there should be more training, because I even find workmen who are working on the road, how that supports roadworks or cones actually on the pavement. Yes. That actually, even that scale could be a barrier to try and get past. And I feel like the council need to be instructed on how they should deal with people with their sight loss better.
That again is the ignorance of individuals and workplaces. Instance of that was when the works was going on at Stockport Station, the hotel, the new office block, and myself working for the said council. I had a run-in with one of the planning people, and so they arranged a meeting with me to show me what they were going to do, and started displaying this map and drawing fingers along the map, and trying to explain how it was going to work. So I just asked them to verbally describe how it was going to happen.
Mm.
They haven't got a clue.
No.
So they weren't able to do that for you?
Yes, eventually they managed to verbally describe what they were going to do and how it was going to happen.
But is that not, again, ignorance of the sighted world of, we change something and we'll put, like you say, roadworks or cones or obstacles in the way, and then if you are visually impaired or blind, you've then, it's something new for you to, new challenge, isn't it, that you don't want and you don't need. So when you're trying to get from A to B, all you want to do is get to B.
Yes.
Just total ignorance and lack of consideration of other elements within society.
Mm.
I'm thinking about parking. I find sometimes, like bus drivers, don't realise the difficulties that are at the bus station, how they'll officially stop at the bus stop, A, have a meal, or B, clear off, and then the next bus comes along and you can't actually get on board because the existing bus is actually in the way. And I feel like even the bus drivers need to be informed that there are clubs in obstacle and stopping other people from boarding the bus that they want to get on board.
So buses on top of buses is a problem as well?
Yes.
Yeah.
A double decker.
As a solution?
Yeah.
I'm just curious, how is bin collection day? Because they leave the bins everywhere, how is that?
They do.
It's bad.
Yeah.
Is that a real struggle to walk?
Sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah. So maybe again with the council, you know, because that's council run, isn't it, the bins?
It is. Yeah. It didn't used to be an issue, but now when the physios say that we let on the pavement, and then they've actually put it to one area, it's cluttered all over the pavement, but I feel like in many cases it should be actually on, become the people who are staying at their house, or put it in the road out of the way, making sure they're not causing an obstacle for people to get past. It only thinking about where properly and respecting others.
I miss the days of the black bin bags.
Yes.
Piled along the road. Mm.
Gone are the days of the bin men.
Mm.
Whereby they used to pick the bins up, take them to the truck, empty them, and return your bin where it was.
Third topic, we'd like to discuss shop clutter, or maybe shopping in general and how people find that.
It can be difficult when people are pushing. You're trying to get through and yes, someone's pushing you.
Even I find that problems sometimes where people don't realise that you've got vision impaired and the difficulty they are coming with doing it. So A, with a shopping trolley, or B, with a pram. But also, when I look at some shops, they like to overcrowd the walking area, so physically they put stuff on the floor and make it extremely difficult to get past and in a safe manner.
I'm going to say, the most shops I've gone in, I've actually had good reviews, you know, going round them, and if you're sort of stuck, people can see you're stuck and they will offer, hi, you're right there, what you're looking for, sort of thing. I think it does depend what shop you go in, and it depends what the staff are like, and I suppose yet again there, it's going back to awareness, isn't it?
It is.
Does anyone get frustrated with the labels on clothes, not being able to read the price?
Yes, and it's really, even when looking at clothing, and not all the clothes actually A, properly labelled on seeing what size it is, and if it being properly grouped in size order. But also, when you look at food containers, it's being very small print, and you can't really see exactly what's actually inside the product, and if there's any form of realities. So you're more reliant on technology or on other people to tell you exactly what's inside that product, if you're able to have it.
Yeah. So I'd say my bugbear is the fact that you pick up what you think is your hanger size.
Yes.
But the actual item of clothes is either three times smaller or four times bigger than what you actually require. So
yes,
I think there, like you say, you do need to ask for help.
Just strip off in the shop, Rachel, and try it on.
Yeah, all right, yeah.
Do you have any
tips? I won't look.
So do you have any tips for effective shopping, Michael?
Effective shopping?
Yeah. You don't bother.
get someone else to do it. effective shopping, that's a good one, though. Yeah, just know what you want. And just go get it. Get to a till, ask for assistance, and if they say, sorry, I can't assist, then just say, well, I'll go around and have a look at everything on the shops, on the shelves then. And once they see you're handling everything on the shelf, then they'll soon get up and help you.
How about when they change the layout of a shop?
Oh. Off. Yeah, that is bad, yeah.
Yeah.
That confuses my dog. Great, that does. Doesn't know which way to go. The issues about changing layouts of shops is not just awkward for visually impaired people. It's also incredibly frustrating and awkward for people who can see. The issues surrounding that have been well through the ages. They do it, supermarkets do it, to make you see products that you're not looking for, which may encourage you to buy different products and more. That's why they do it.
And plus you go to aisle 13 thinking you go in there and it's nothing's there.
That's right.
52 inch TVs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, how frustrating is it when people in shops say to you, oh, you'll find that on aisle 22. Right, thanks. Where's aisle 22?
Could you see, I put it back on them then and go, can you take me then, please?
Mm. Exactly.
I think it's about you've got to use your own voice, and well, a lot of the time.
Once when I went in a shop and I asked for help, and she said, oh, just come and tell us when you found something you like.
can't see it to find what I want.
How did you handle that situation?
Well, I just didn't go in the shop again afterwards. They lost my service.
I think you can tell, though, when certain areas, for instance, I've got friends who live in Hereford. Now, the shops in Hereford, because there is a lot of blind people who live in Hereford and go to the blind college, the shops seem a lot more friendly and a lot more savvy, i.e. awareness. Where if you go into other shops, I'd say in Stockport, sometimes you're just lucky as if you've just landed, sort of thing.
What's better, food shops or clothing shops? Or experience? Do you prefer which is less stressful?
Food shops are great these days because everything's wrapped up in that silly plastic cling film anyway, so health and safety issues won't come into that. And so basically you can just go around and have a feel of more or less everything that's on the shelves. Whether you know what's in the tins, shake it, try and decipher. If it rattles and it sounds as though it's in water, it could be a tin of peas or sweet corn. Take your pick.
So food shopping is more comfortable?
Yeah, it's more fun.
More fun.
Yeah.
You're a man, though.
You like the element of surprise, then?
It's more fun.
I think I'd rather take someone with me or ask someone for assistance.
Exactly. How is assistance in clothes shops?
I've got to say, boots were very, very good. Me and two other friends who are visually impaired went shopping, and one of my friends was after makeup. And they were brilliant. They explained what the makeup was, the colours, and then I was looking for some perfume, and they took us over to the perfume counter and went through everything and then took us to the till. So the experience in there was very, very good.
They're usually very helpful, really.
What about if you want a new dress? How's that? Be helpful then? Do you ever get a personal shopper?
I know people have had it in Debenhams and said it was brilliant. You literally go in and they bring you several items and you keep trying them on. And
of course, there's always online shopping.
Mm. That's boring.
I'd rather go in a shop.
Yeah, but things like Christmas shopping, for me, the online shopping was brilliant because my friends, for their children, do wish lists, and you literally click on the wish list, it takes you straight to the shop, and you just pick what you're having, put it in the basket, pay it, done. It comes to your home. No fighting in the shops. Are you getting through all the people? Obstacles of items on the floor.
That's part of the enjoyment of shopping.
I think you need to get out more, Michael.
By also, by shopping on the internet, you get more of an understanding basically how much you should be paying for an item. And then if you can save some money, then much the better.
Oh, yeah.
But the only problem is, by doing it online, you're not having a hand-on or particularly be able to feel or see if you've got some sight how good the material is on clothing before you buy it.
Thanks for downloading the Weekly Connect podcast from RNIB. Find more podcasts from RNIB on Audioboom, iTunes and the Apple Podcast app.